This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is Steve Sciarippa, better known as Bobby Bacala. It's 3 o'clock, and the Michael K. Show starts now, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, do me a favor. Don't screw this thing up, would you?
We will certainly try not to. And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on an absolutely glorious weather day, a Wednesday, March 10th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together with you for the next 4 hours. The other 20, well, Peter, that's up to them.
Their responsibility.
It's their responsibility. It's not ours. We'd like to help them, but it's their responsibility. Yeah. Not Bears, theirs.
It's Bears.
How's Bears feeling? Or how is Bear feeling?
He's better. We had a good solid poop yesterday.
Oh, good.
Oh, nice. That's
look how happy.
So I got to get one more, and then I'll feel like we're in the clear. Return to regular treats, etc. But it's a good start.
Well, the rice will help. It binds you. It's the ties that bind.
I've heard that.
You could right now, by the way, be consuming this show on the Yes app.
Ooh!
It debuted today,
nice.
And it's really, I'll tell you what, I know I'm biased. I work there, but it's a beautiful app, and it does so many things. You could watch a Net game or a Yankee game now and choose a different camera that you can view the game. You
really?
Can watch our show. When you can actually direct the game, you know, if you like the home plate camera and they're showing the center field camera, there's a dedicated camera that you can go to. You can see all the archive center stage episodes, and you could watch our show, which is wonderful.
Now, this is when you know you've hit the big time,
mm-hmm.
if you're able to archive our show.
You know what? I have to ask. I did ask, are we on the app? And they said, yes. I'm not sure if they can archive our show. Great question. I'll find out.
At least archive the best ofs.
Good point.
That could be good fun. Point. Or certain interviews and all that. But still, this is where we're going. And I don't have it personally, but my brother raves about the WWE app just because of the fact that you can go back and watch any match from like 50 years ago or whatever.
Well, if you have... yes, on your cable system or DirecTV, you'll be able to use the app. That's
Love
the way it.
It
works. That's today's technology. So we're very proud of it, and we hope that you enjoy it. And what is that picture of you, Don, that you have in front of you?
That picture.
You look like a very, very large Mark Schlereth.
Yeah, that was during the grotesque days, as Peter will remind me whenever he sees a picture of me from the early 2000s. That was.
Oh, I love grotesque, Don.
Because we're cleaning out a lot of my aunt's stuff, my Aunt Polly, mm-hmm. and these are gifts that I had given to her. That is a picture of me introducing the sack exchange at midfield at Giant Stadium when I got my first big opportunity to host a halftime event for the Jets.
What did you do? Did you put Bob with shoes in shackles in order to do that?
No, they realized Bob was calling the game, and I must have done such an awful job, they realized, you know what, let's have LaGreca do the start of the third quarter and let Bob do it. I don't know, whatever it was, I did it, and it was the Jets-Broncos, and you coached me up. You told me, don't freak out when you hear your voice come back to you, because you did all those old-timers days and ceremonies. So it was great. I think it was 2003, maybe, and that was the picture that the Jets had taken, and I liked it at the time. Now I look back, and I'm a mess. And then the picture to my left is the picture of late in my wedding where Michael showed up, and it's me, Michael, Joey Salvia, and Dan Grasso. We were all working. That was the show back when I got married and got a picture, and I put it in a frame and gave it to my aunt. And now I got it back, and I thought it'd be nice here on the table for the show.
Very nice. Nice additions, nice frames, and I love it. Good start. Good start to the show.
This is going to make people sign up for the Yes app. They're going to download it right now.
Yeah, it's again. I if I pump it too much, well, it's Yes Boy. Well, I am Yes Boy. I don't deny that.
No,
I'm
there's
Yes
nothing
Boy.
Wrong with that. We're on Yes. I'm ESPN Boy.
I am Yes Boy. I am Yes Boy. I've been there since the very beginning. I am a big Yes Boy. And
okay,
this Yes app takes because we had been on Fox Sports Go because we used to be owned by Fox, and after the sale. You know, there's a transition period, so we were still, Fox was nice enough, they were still on their app, but we have been developing this app, And it's a beauty, everybody. It's a beauty, so you will like it, and it provides you a lot of things that you've seen on Yes and a lot of options. It's really wonderful. So download it if you can, if you have Yes on your cable system. Then, as I said on a tweet earlier, Don, I don't know if you saw it, a lot of people think that they could fit Peter in their pocket. Well, now you can. He could be on the phone.
Finally.
Yeah, little Peter in the pocket. Who doesn't want little Peter in their pocket?
I don't like how it sounds, but...
No.
But still, Don,
some
that picture
have
of you,
that
picture of you is...
Repug?
It's something.
Well, you know what? It motivates me, right? To not look like that again.
I like that.
Because that's a big boy.
It's not even about that. It's like, yes, you're fat, but that's not what made you grotesque. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm not sure.
All right, so... Dave Gettleman, the giant GM with the Boston accent, said something yesterday that it's a little concerning. You know, now that we've like poured over it with a fine tooth comb, as Don said, you know, into a fine powder, he said something that just, it doesn't make sense. Well, here's Gettleman, about restructuring contracts.
The goal with to best manage the cap is to get flat contracts, okay? So if a guy's making $15 million, has a three-year deal at $45 million, you'd like to have a $15 million cap number every year. That's the goal. Once you start restructuring and renegotiating, you usually back-end load them. What you're doing is you're kicking the can. So it depends upon, you know, how much pain you want to deal with. So that's really what it is. Some teams don't have any, you know, they philosophically they just say the heck with it and they restructure, and some people don't, and it's a philosophical conversation, but it's not a good place to get to constantly restructure, renegotiate.
Listen, all due respect to Dave Gettleman, he is the outlier here. That's what you do. Great teams have great people, really smart people in their cap office that know how to do this. You keep kicking the can down the road. That's what you do. If you're going to look at the value of the contract and say the value has to be, so if the Cowboys did that with the contract of Dak Prescott, it would be a $40 million hit on their deal this year. You can't do that. So Jordan Ronan tweeted this out. Spoke to a bunch of people around the league today who really disagree with this Dave Gettleman philosophy, especially with the cap having gone up every year prior to a global pandemic. The value of a dollar now is unlikely to be the same as the value of a dollar years down the line. It doesn't make sense that the guy who's running the Giants is looking to put full value contracts there and not restructure. Well, the Giants are in a bad situation right now cap-wise. They don't have any money. So if they're not looking to restructure contracts, you know what's going to happen? They have to cut people like they cut Golden Tate. They have to cut people. Mm. And if you don't restructure, right now they're in a situation with Leonard Williams. They actually franchise tagged him. But his franchise tag's about $19 million. And you know how much they have left on the cap? $9 million. So before March 15th, they have to come up with another $10 million or it's illegal. They can't do that. They can't franchise him. You've got to restructure contracts.
But I agree with the sentiment. I mean, that should be the goal. Now, obviously, there should be nothing ever set in stone in sports, right? I mean, you've got to be able to change on the fly. So it's nice to have that philosophy. And in a perfect world, you'd love to do all that because it is kind of dangerous to start redoing contracts, and then it becomes a habit, and then eventually you have to pay the piper. You know, so they're going under the assumption that they've got their quarterback, right? And that they're going to now, you know, build going forward. But they also want the insurance policy of if they end up needing a quarterback, they want to be able to have the flexibility financially to either give Daniel Jones a raise or go out and get another quarterback. So I agree with the sentiment. But right now, you've got to live in the now because you want to give your quarterback the best possible chance to succeed. Otherwise, you're going to be the Jets next year. Do we have our quarterback or not? Because if you don't get the weapons, if you don't improve the offensive line, then at the end of 2021, you're going to say, all right, we've seen 3 years of Daniel Jones. We've seen some bright spots, but are we going to move forward with this guy? And you don't want the answer to be, we need another year because we haven't put enough talent around him. So you got to adjust on the fly, Peter. Otherwise, now you're going to be stuck going into year four with Daniel Jones, knocking on the door to have to give him a contract and not know if you've got the right quarterback or not. You know it in theory, but you haven't seen it on the field. So why wouldn't you adjust to make sure that he's got the best possible weapons to be the best possible quarterback the next couple of years so you know what you have?
I've said this ad nauseum. Otherwise, you're stuck in Darnold land, which is, you know, I guess the Jets have made that decision now.
That's in Anaheim, right? Darnold land?
Darnold land? Oh, it's a great time. Yeah, you go there.
Wonderful place on earth.
Yeah, it's hard because the first few, you know, there's all kinds of ups and downs. You get mono for a few minutes. You come out of it. You don't have any friends around. Then your friends start turning on you. It's not easy. And the whole time you have a weird, crazy-eyed killer staring at you.
Right. But by the way, they just released Zeitler, so that's another veteran gone from their offensive line.
Right. So their offensive line last year was a mess because it was very young. It's going to get younger because they might have to release Solder. So you just release Zeitler. So if you're not willing to restructure contracts to kick the can down the line, and, you know, I give him a lot of credit, though. For a 68, 69-year-old guy, the thing would be to kick the can down the road and let it be somebody else's problem. Yeah. But you make a great point, Don. If you're not going to give Daniel Jones the proper stuff to be successful by creating cap space and bringing people in, you're going to be having the same discussion as Peter just said. It's going to be Sam Darnold land all over again.
Now, the only difference could be, all right, now the Jets are in Sam Darnold land a lot because they got the second overall pick. So they have options. But what, you know, we're playing the game of we haven't seen it yet, we need to see more. Is it possible that the Giants just know? He's our guy. We believe in him. We don't care what the stats say. He's our guy. We believe in him. When it's time to get paid, we're going to pay him. So we don't need to throw a bunch of weapons his way to kind of prove to the world that he's the guy because we know he's the guy. Now, I don't know how they could know that because they look at the same game as I look at. Now, they look at it, obviously, with a much more educated eye, but I also see a winnable division here. I also want to see this team play in the playoffs to know that Daniel Jones can win a big game when there's meaning around that game. But is it possible that they just know?
I don't see how they could.
Well, I mean, the guy was in full bloom 2 years ago when they drafted him. So is it? And I'm not saying they're right, Peter. But
right. No, I hear you.
Do they look at it and just say, I don't need to bring in a bunch of weapons to prove to the world that he's the guy. We just believe he's the guy.
We will
gradually build towards proving that to you at some point.
But you're going to get him killed with a bad offensive line, too. So Zeitler's not a terrible player, but they're going to go really young on the offensive line. Look at the offensive line's numbers last year. It wasn't good. So even if they all – I keep reading all the stories today. They got to go out and get him a big-time wide receiver. And that's drying up, too, because a couple of the big ones, Godwin and Robinson, are being franchised. So they're out of the mix. Got to get him a wide receiver. You hope that Saquon comes back. Slayton, Shepard, and Ingram. But if you don't block for him, what does it matter? You give him all these weapons, but if he's not blocked, what does it mean?
Well,
and what does it mean
worse
for Saquon if you can't block?
Some have him ranked 31st in the league on the offensive line. Now, I know he's mobile, but we saw what happened when he got hurt. Quarterbacks get hurt, and a lot of times they get hurt because you don't protect them properly. And he's not. And let's face it, Michael, you could be the biggest Daniel Jones fan in the world. You saw what happened when his athleticism and his mobility is compromised. He looked very average, if not below average. So, yeah, the athleticism is fine, but you still got to protect. I don't want this guy running for his life every time he makes a play.
Again, he doesn't believe in, like, restructuring. Every team that's successful has a genius capologist that restructures contracts. And you know what? If you win a couple of championships and you have to pay the piper down the line, then they pay the piper. But if you're always going to be, all right, it's a $50 million five-year deal. That's $10 million against cap each year. You're not going to get great. You're not going to be allowed to get great. And this is the time, Don, to do it when you have a quarterback that you believe in on a rookie contract.
And honestly, we can kill Gettleman all we want. This is obviously the Giants' philosophy. Because you remember, Eli used to get killed for not restructuring his contract.
Right.
I don't think the Giants ever asked him to. So is this the Giants' philosophy? Is Gettleman just basically carrying the water for what the Giants believe? That we don't like to do that because
could be.
How many times have we brought that up? Why isn't Eli reconstructing his contract? Why isn't he doing something? Well, because why should he volunteer if he's not asked? They never asked him. And to my knowledge, I'm sure we can find out from Jordan or somebody else that have they ever really done that? And maybe maybe it's a team philosophy. And Gettleman's just carrying the water.
And you wonder if it talks about – and again, I'm getting into something that I'm not quite buttoned up with all the info, but when you're kicking the can down the road, so to speak, what you're doing is you're paying a lot of bonus dollars up front, and then you're amortizing that over time. The only business that the Mariners are in are the Giants. Now, Tisch has the money in the relationship, but maybe they don't want to restructure contracts because then you got to – I mean, look at what the Cowboys are doing. The Cowboys are paying Dak Prescott $120 million essentially this year, $120 million out of their pocket. Maybe the Giants don't have that kind of money to do it.
Well, but you say that, but yet even though the world knew Eli wasn't the best quarterback in the world, he was still the highest paid quarterback.
No. Oh, no. He was they pay top dollar,
yeah.
But they're not willing to restructure contracts and pay these big balloon payments up front and then amortize them out over a number of years because that money has to come out of your pocket that year. That's what I'm saying. They'll pay what has to be paid. They've shown that because Eli was the top paid quarterback for a while. But they didn't want to give him a balloon of like a $60 million a bonus up front. Like I think the Cowboys gave Dak Prescott $75 million as a bonus. That's money you got to pay right away. Maybe the Giants don't have it.
No.
Maybe they're not liquid like that.
I don't know. Because it's interesting. We saw it in 93. They spent a ton of money in free agency on the defensive side of the ball and then eventually had to let all those guys go, and then they were in cap hell for a while. Same thing in 2016, right? Look how much money they paid for Jackrabbit, right? And Olivier Vernon. And what happened? They had to let all those guys go, and they had cap issues. So they have gone for it before. And it just sounds like that's a philosophy they just have. They just do not want to kick it down the road and be in cap hell for doing it. At
well,
some
you know
point,
they
they're going to have to pay the piper. But
they haven't won in a long time, Don.
But you're right. I mean, but I even if you believe in Daniel Jones, forget about that. Let's say you just believe in Daniel Jones. I see a winnable division. I saw the front runner just keep their quarterback. You know, I want to make the playoffs. I want to see Daniel Jones perform in meaningful games. I want to see this team's gone to the playoffs once since winning their last Super Bowl. And they were done. They haven't won a playoff game since Super Bowl 47 or 6. You know, so it's been a long time. So don't you want to get into the playoffs and see what these guys can do in the postseason in a very winnable division? So never mind kicking the can. Never mind I believe in my quarterback. Let's try to see if we can win what I think is a very winnable division. Even with Dak there, are you telling me the Cowboys are going 13-3, 14-2? No, because the last year Prescott played a full season, an MVP caliber season, they went 8-8. 9-10 wins could be enough to win this division. So why aren't you trying to put yourself in that position to do that? And as you said, hire a capologist that can figure it out later.
Now the Giants' offensive line, which, you know, kind of the genesis of this conversation, according to Pro Football Focus, Don mentioned this 31st. This is what they wrote, all right? With 1 year in the books, the Giants can't feel good about their decision to take Andrew Thomas as the first tackle off the board in last year's draft, given the season he had compared to the tackle selected after him. Thomas allowed 57 pressures at left tackle this season, 14 more than any other player at the position. He was the only player at the position to be charged with 10 sacks allowed as well. As you could guess, for a team coming in at second to last on this list, Thomas wasn't the only problem up front for the Giants. Shane Lemieux and Will Hernandez both allowed pressure rates of at least 8% at left guard, while Cameron Fleming, filling in for the opted-out Nate Solder, allowed the sixth most pressures in the league at the right tackle position. And now you release a veteran like Zeitler, who is, you know, he's a serviceable player on the offensive line. And I guess you're almost forced to bring back Solder, right?
Well, they must believe that he still is good. They obviously paid him through the roof. He was the highest paid left tackle at the time they signed him a couple of years ago. So, and then that moves Thomas to the right, and maybe they feel like that gives them the best chance to win. It could improve. Now, he had a miserable first couple of seasons, but obviously they still think he can do it. He's going to have to. He's your left tackle, right?
Yep.
Right-handed quarterback. That's a pretty important position. So they must believe he can do it.
And in terms of kicking things down the road, right, kicking the can down the road, check this out with the Cowboys. And JoJo Fagan just reminded me on Twitter. So it's a $160 million, essentially four-year deal. But they make it 6 years so they could play the numbers game. So you know what their cap is? Cap hit is on a guy that's going to get $40 million a year? 22.2. So if the Giants are in a position where they have to sign Daniel Jones to that kind of contract, it's going to be a $40 million hit unless you play these little numbers games. Every team plays these little numbers games. It's like Dave Gettleman is still stuck with Andy Robustelli and Frank Gifford and Sam Hutt. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
That's not what the game's not played that way this anymore.
And maybe that's just the way the Giants do it. And you got to keep up literally with the Joneses here, right? I understand the sentiment. I understand in a perfect world, you'd love to be able to have everybody have the flat cap hit for the length of their contract, so you don't have to rework anything. But in this world, in this current climate on how to win games, it's nice that the older general manager wants to keep setting his ways. And I do kind of respect the fact that, let's face it, Michael, he's trying to help the next general manager out. I mean, this guy's getting older, right? I don't know. Does he feel confident he's going to be here 3-4 years from now as the general manager of the team? So that's why I think it's the organizational philosophy, right? If I'm Dave Gettleman and I'm 68 years old and I might be 5 minutes away from losing my job or retiring, why am I not trying to build a team that can win me a Super Bowl before I get out of Dodge? Unless this is how you keep your job, because this is how the Giants want it to be. And don't tell me I'm wrong, because I still believe in my heart that Saquon Barkley is here not because of Gettleman, but because of the Giants. So I think there's enough evidence there that Gettleman is doing what he is told as general manager of this team.
I've got great news for Peter.
Go ahead, I'm waiting.
This is going to really affect you in a positive way when it comes to that album that you have out.
Okay.
After 18 games out with a calf tear, Marcus Smart is back. Now that song becomes relevant.
That's official, game one?
Yeah.
You're telling me he's playing tomorrow night?
That's what they're saying on the
wow.
tweet.
At the Nets.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Time.
Oh, yeah.
Could not be better. Could not be better.
That is tremendous news.
I knew you'd like it. I'm here to give you that sort of news.
The only thing that would be better is if in his post-game press conference
he
talks about that song and that was the motivation that got him back.
He's yet to acknowledge the song. That's the one.
How do you not acknowledge a song written about you?
Well, it's not, I don't know, written about him strong, but it's named after him.
Well, I haven't heard the song yet, but I assume since it's named after him, it's about him.
There's reference. No. I mean, Don, it's not like Mark is smart. He plays basketball,
and we wish him well
this season.
That would be like if they changed the name of Build Me Up Buttercup to Michael K. I mean, is it about Marcus Smart or not?
No, it's named after him. It's like the mentality is Marcus Smart.
I don't like this at all, Don.
So this is not Candle in the Wind about Lady Di.
What? No, it's not like Candle in the Wind.
No, but I'm saying that was about Lady Diana. You're saying this is not about Marcus Smart. It's just named after.
Wait, what's about Lady Di?
Candle in the Wind.
Candle in the Wind's
about Marilyn Monroe.
No, well, he rewrote it for Lady Di. That's right.
Right, you're right. He changed it for Lady Di when she passed. But yeah, it was written about Marilyn Monroe. But the fact is that it's not about Marcus Smart. When has there ever been a song named after somebody that's not about that person?
I mean, there's a very obscure song named Gnoitny and Fisteris that's
not
about
true.
Them.
That's not true.
Them. Yeah. How do you know it's not true?
Because I don't even know that Gnoitny and Fisteris is a real thing. I think it's some sort of weird game that you and Sterling play.
Sterling started it, and then I just ran with it. And by the way, if you'd like to hear Michael Kay and John Sterling, it's next Monday, the 15th. We're back here together.
And then there's a couple of games, right?
Two games, the 15th and the 22nd. And if you can't get near a TV, you could see it on the Yes app.
Oh, yeah.
Just out today, and people are raving about it. The reviews are outrageously great.
Well, you know what I'm going to do right now, Michael?
Download it. You're going to love
it. Right into my phone right now.
Even Peter looked at it and said, wow, this looks amazing.
You've downloaded it?
No, it looks terrific, though.
We're going to finally at 4:30 have an answer on whether or not you guys are going to be able to weasel your way into a booth for a Yankee game.
Well, why do you got to say it that way? See, this is why you're not championing this whole course.
You have no idea what I'm doing behind the scenes. You really have no idea.
The fact that you said it the way you said it, I think you're doing what you can to a limit.
I do everything.
This is not a hill you're going to die on, Michael.
I will not die on a hill for many things. This is not one of them.
So what do I search? Because I'm going to make this happen. I'm sure a lot of people are in the same situation. Because I search yes, and I'm not. What do I do? What do I search?
Well,
yes,
there's
network?
A lot of tweets out there about the introduction to the Yes app, and then there's a link that will take you to where you have to download. All right, do that during the break. We'll come back, and it'll all be installed, and you'll love it. You'll just be felling about it. 1-800-919-3776. We've got to talk about Daniel Jones, too. Is he really the answer? Is he? Are you sure? Seems like Dave Gettleman is. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on the new Yes app, too, right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Just a quick programming note. We're on till 7, all right? So you have to know that. But we will only be on Yes till 6:30 because it's the Yankees and the Pirates on Yes live from Steinbrenner Field. Domingo Germán will be pitching. So we will leave the simulcast at 6:30, but we'll be on the radio until 7.
And basically, that's the Yankees tanking on Scranton. How bad are the Pirates going to be?
They're pretty bad.
Oh.
Pretty bad.
Oh. Well, not long ago, they were competing for a championship, too.
We mentioned this during the soft open, and it bears covering here. And by the way, in this hour, we will find out, finally, for sure, last time, final word, whether or not Don and Peter will enter a Yankee broadcast this spring.
I got to tell you, this is a sneaky storyline that's taking place, Don.
How so?
Because it's just sort of come up that there's another conversation to have. Don and I did not think there was further conversation to have.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can play the audio, Anthony.
Yeah, it was pretty clear.
Let me think about it. No.
So, yeah, so it was done. The fact that it's still on the table to me is nothing but good news, Peter.
But does it tell you that I've been working behind the scenes?
That's the part that's weird, though, is that I wouldn't think so.
It could be that, or that Flip reviewed the conversation and the cogent points I was making, although loud, and he revisited it. So it's good. I'm willing to listen, right, Peter?
Well, obviously, I'd be.
He's
down
a pretty significant person in this business, so I think we should listen.
Well, I mean, it'll be this hour. This hour.
And I'll just say this,
though. Monumental.
If he's calling to tell us no again,
that would be hurtful.
Then he's just a bad guy. So I just wonder how many people he's heard from, Don, like the amount of tweets that may have rolled in that maybe made an impact.
We mentioned this on the soft open. The Texas Rangers have announced that they will have 100% capacity. They have two spring training games at their ballpark. Now, their ballpark opened last year without fans. They did have fans during the playoffs, though. So they will have 100% capacity for their two final preseason games and then their opener. And they said that after the opener, they will have socially distanced sections. They also said that although it's 100% capacity and Texas is now no longer a mask mandate state, they're open 100% in restaurants, gyms, movie theaters. You can fill up the place and you don't have to wear a mask. The Texas Rangers are saying that you do, in fact, have to wear a mask if you're part of the crowd, unless you're eating, obviously. But then after the first game, they will have socially distanced sections for people that want to go that don't want to sit on top of somebody. But it's kind of odd. We'll fill up on opening day. If you get sick then, well, that's bad on you. And then we'll give you sections where you can actually sit 6 feet away from people. It's so odd. And in the same league, you've got the New York Yankees, who, as of this point, they open on April 1st against the Blue Jays at the stadium, and they're limited to 10% capacity. And the Mets, when they open at Citi Field, are limited to 10% capacity. Baltimore said yesterday they're up to 50% capacity. So it's so – every single state is like its own little country.
It is.
Where they're making their own little decisions that seem to fly in the face of what the health officials are saying. So I don't know what to believe in. As Don said in the soft open, I hope Texas is right. That's the way to root, baby. Let's open this world up and let's live again.
Yeah. And just to hope that this doesn't set us back, but I'm rooting for them because I want them to be right. I think it's a little bit too much because I mentioned this in the soft open too. I saw it on the news. It was a doctor who said somebody today is going to get COVID-19 and in 2 weeks will die. And that person would have been a month away from getting vaccinated and really puts it in perspective. Like that's how close you could be to getting vaccinated and having your percentages of getting this reduced to almost zero and you dying from it be zero. So when you're this close, can't we just wait until we get closer and closer to where the majority of people are vaccinated? And another thing I saw in the news in Texas, there was a bar owner who said, I want my patrons to wear a mask, but I've got no shot. How am I supposed to tell somebody they have to wear a mask when the state is saying they don't have to? That's where I find it's going to be very troubling for the Texas Rangers. What if you get fans coming and refuse to wear the mask, and they're going to be told, my state says it's okay? That's going to be very difficult to govern. I hope it works out for them.
Individual,
but you get in that building, Peter,
rules,
and somebody rips off their mask and you tell them to put it back on or they're gone, and they say, why? The state says I don't have to wear it.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
I mean, private businesses do have the right to...
No, they have
no
the right
shoes, sure, no shirt, no
but
business.
You have people getting tackled going into a Walmart because they don't want to have they don't want to have to wear a mask. And that's when the state is issued. It puts the Texas Rangers in a very difficult spot to govern that. Because you're telling me there aren't going to be people that are going to say, I'm not putting my mask on. Tough. And now you're going to have to physically remove them from the stadium. That's awkward.
There's a
story.
You
tell me that's not going to happen?
It could. It could. But, I mean, you do kind of know the rules of engagement when you go there. But
yeah,
we'll see. But you're right. They know the rules of engagement going into stores, and they don't want to do it. So there was a story in the Post today that the Garden is, you know, petitioning with the governor of New York to, you know, broaden the percentage of people they could let in because they figure the Knicks could be in the playoffs and the Rangers are going to be playing some big games and they'd rather have more than, you know, 1,800 people there. So we'll see if that happens. And, you know, you wonder, is Cuomo going to loosen the restrictions on outdoor Met and Yankee games? That's the one. Everything, sometimes things in life make sense and sometimes they don't make sense. So you have a 10% capacity for indoor arenas. I get it. You know, that's where the virus could spread. But you're told by everybody, everybody agrees with this, there's less likelihood of a spread in an outdoor area. Mm-hmm. Why should Yankee Stadium and Citi Field be 10% when Madison Square Garden and Barclays Center is 10%? It doesn't make sense. You're outdoors at the stadium and at Citi Field. You should have the ability to have more people in there. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, nothing about this. There's never been consistency throughout this entire time.
And that's why there's been such a fight. Because how can you tell me that things are so, like, scientific when there's so many inconsistencies?
Yeah.
Like, some schools are open, some schools are closed. Well, wait a minute. If we have the science that tells us everything, then why isn't it all uniform? You know, why is one state opening up 100% and the other state is still at, you know, 10% or 15%? If the CDC tells us you're less likely to get it outside than inside, then why aren't the rules different? So it drives people crazy. So maybe they're right to do it, Michael. Maybe they're just right to just say, listen, we're just going to keep it all the same, you know, and then we'll go from there. You know, how do you handle a suite? Like a suite, you're kind of inside, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's just easier for them to say, this is what we're going to do. But on the high school level, they're opening up more of the sports that are outside, not inside. So then now that we're getting ready for baseball and field hockey and soccer and all that, well, then you can open those things up. But stuff that's inside, they haven't been able to. So there's a lot of inconsistencies. I'm with you. So that's what frustrates people.
And Jerry Jones has like piggybacked on the announcement today about the Rangers. He said, we will have full capacity for every Cowboy game, and we'll do it safely.
Okay.
So we'll see. That starts in September. We told you about Zach Britton yesterday. He's going to have surgery Monday to remove a bone chip from his left elbow. Probably going to be out 3 to 4 months. I mean, there's no other way to cut it. Here's what Zach Britton said about the injury.
a long time ago, Scott Boras told me the best attribute of a player is durability, right? So being able to be out on the field, doesn't matter how much talent you have, but if you can't make it on the field, then you're not helping your team. So it's disappointing that I'm not going to be there to start the year. But like I said, this is the best way for me to get with the guys this season and pitch at a high level and, you know, make a big impact. You know, I'm still planning on making a good amount of appearances for the club and making a big impact.
Now, he told the New York Post last week that he got COVID in early January and had a real bad bout with it. He lost 18 pounds in 10 days. That's a lot. And he said that set him back 3 to 4 weeks in his preparation to pitch. Now, who knows? A bone chip is a bone chip. I don't think because you were set back in your preparation that all of a sudden that would spring a bone chip loose. But, who knows? We're dealing in uncertain times. But it did set him back 3 to 4 weeks. And now, if you see him sometime at the end of June, I think you'd be thrilled. Now, if you want to look at the glasses half full, because you know that's how we are here, The Yankees are going to make two great acquisitions at the midway point of the season. They're going to get a top-flight reliever, closer, in Zach Britton, and they're going to get a top-flight number one or two starter in Luis Severino. They won't have to make trades. They're paid for. Their salary is part of the payroll, and They're both expected back by the middle of the year. Those are big acquisitions, and that could really go a long way for them.
And maybe it's just because I've been paying attention to this team the last 3 years when it's come to injuries. But tell me, Peter, if you wouldn't make this prediction, are you along with me, that in the next 3 months, someone in that bullpen is going to do such a great job as the eighth inning guy in replace of Britton that when Britton comes back, it'll be looked upon as an embarrassment of riches and a problem, because what do you do with the guy that has been so good for 3 months?
That seems like the Yankee thing to have happened, yes.
And that's where it could benefit. Somebody may rise up, and we'll be sitting here having a conversation in June going, well, look at this bullpen, because, you know, Lyons or somebody, Loaisica, somebody in their bullpen did such a stellar job that, hey, now look, they got 2 8th inning guys. And now they're set at 7. And now they're set at 6. I mean, that's a compliment to the organization, Michael. That's the most likely thing to happen. Not, like, sweating when he's coming back.
Now, going over to Port St. Lucie, Carlos Carrasco supposedly has a sore elbow. Now, they said that he's had it before, but that sets him back. He has not thrown at all, and because he had been battling leukemia, he came to Met Camp late. So he had not even pitched in a game yet, but now he's developed some soreness. They're going to hold him back. They don't think it's anything serious. He's told them that he's had this before in his career, but that would be a big blow for them. All of a sudden, then, you're looking at Lucchese having to pitch or Yamamoto having to pitch as the fifth guy, and everybody's sliding up just a bit because Carrasco's important to that rotation. He really is. So you got to cross your fingers and hope that Carrasco's okay.
No, you can't lose people in this rotation. Not when you don't have Syndergaard for at least the first couple of months.
Yep.
Hey, listen, Jacob's great. He can only go every 5 days.
Unless you really want to change things up.
And you really want to get people hurt. Let's go to Pete in Brooklyn. Peter.
Hey, boys. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Yo.
Michael, am I nuts? But if I'm a player and I've got a game scheduled in Texas, I want to get vaccinated. Or if I have a game in Madison Square Garden, it's all fine and dandy that these people are opening up their capacity, but were the players completely not consulted with this? Because I got to believe the MLBPA, for instance, would want to protect their players if they got to all of a sudden play in front of a full house. Am I nuts?
You know, you're not nuts, and none of it makes sense, Pete. That's what we were talking about with the inconsistency in all this. So baseball players can go on road trips. Basketball players could go on road trips, and they are not allowed to leave their hotel except to go to the ballpark. They can't go to restaurants. They can't see any friends. None of it. It's draconian, and I'm glad because you want to keep them safe. But then they go to the arena, and in Atlanta, there are people heckling LeBron James from courtside.
Yeah, but they're not that close.
What?
They're not that close.
No. That woman heckled him from courtside.
Yeah, but no, see what? No, there was a little separation.
No, there was. Peter, was there separation? They were right there.
No, they were at
the
real courtside.
I thought that there were a few rows back.
Well, she was on the court when she was told to sit down.
Right, I got to look at the video.
To yell at
I didn't
him.
Think she was on the court.
Close enough to yell at. Also, if you've got 40,000 people emptying their lungs cheering at Globe Life Field, you can't tell me if people have coronavirus that the coronavirus is not cascading to the field. It transmits by aerosol. So these players can't live a life. Most of them want to live a life. They can't go to restaurants. They can't leave the hotel. But once they go to the arena or the stadium, then they're going to be prime
subject
game
to being
to get
screened.
The virus.
Right.
But if they, but still, I mean, if they are wearing masks and they're more than 6 feet away, it shouldn't be that big of it. I'm with you. But I'm just trying to think their logic. Like with the Rangers and the Knicks, the fans are not close at all.
No, they're not there because it's just 2,000 fans.
No, but also there's nobody courtside. As a matter of fact, when I watch the Knicks game, you don't even see a fan because they're so far away. They're not even in the shot, so it's not close. And any of the NHL, you've got the plexiglass, and even behind the bench where they removed the plexiglass, so the players have a little bit more air. There's still a fair distance. At the Devil games, they actually kept up some of the tarp in the lower bowl. Like that's how far you are away, and I would think that. If I'm in the on deck circle at a Texas Rangers game, there better not be somebody in the first row.
Because
then
be.
You
it's
could be within
capacity.
6 feet.
100% capacity.
Well, they're going to have to come up
row.
With some separate 100% capacity in whatever they deem to be 100%.
Well, in spring
there's
training,
be
they make
separation.
You put, they make you put plexiglass up, so I'm sure that will be the case.
Well,
now,
but
Peter,
ultimately, the Players Association should have been consulted.
But this isn't a Major League Baseball thing. This is a statewide thing. Texas is saying go for it. So the Rangers are going for it. Peter, I read today that today there are 24,000 vaccinations available at the Javits Center. Open appointments.
Really?
You should go get one.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's open appointments for him.
Wait, do you mean 24,000 that means to anyone who shows up?
Their appointments available. So if you show up, because these things have to be frozen, and once they're unfrozen, they've got to give the vaccine out, and there's nobody there to get the people are not getting it at that rate. So I've read some people, they went to Javits Center, and although they were not in the group that's next, they were getting shots because they've got to give these shots out.
Wow, I'm gonna inquire about this right now because...
And by the way, they looked, and the courtside Karen person in Atlanta with the LeBron incident was in the first row on the court.
Yep.
Let's go to Andrew in Don's favorite city in this country, Portland, Oregon. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter. Thanks for having me. A big time, long time. I listen to you guys every day, even from out here in Portland, Oregon.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Yep. So, Michael, my question for you was... I saw a video of the New York Mets at their spring training facility, and they were doing defensive drills, and then they were pretending like they won the World Series. They were practicing a World Series celebration, and I'm not calling today to be a killer of fun. It's all fine and good if they were just kind of goofing around and whatnot, but I'm curious, how do you think George Steinbrenner would have responded to the Yankees in, say, the 90s, winning, them practicing on the field in spring training and them pretending like they won the World Series? How do you think he would have replied to that?
I can't speak to what George Steinbrenner would say. I have absolutely no problem with the Mets doing that because when you talk to mental coaches, visualization is a big deal. You have to visualize what it's going to be like to succeed. So if they were having fun and Rojas was trying to pump them up to do the drill correctly, and then you win the seventh game of the World Series. I think it's neat. So what? I saw a couple of people on Twitter. Oh, this is so low. This is so rookie ball. No, it's not. Let them do it their way. Let them practice. Because if you're going to celebrate at the end of the season, you want to visualize that celebration. I think it's cool. Yeah, I have no problem at all.
I'm with you,
Michael. You asked me what George Steinbrenner would say, Don. What would Leo DeRocher say? I don't know. What would Joe McCarthy say?
Yeah,
but we're
exactly.
In 2021.
Give me a break. I just think it's a long spring training, and if you want to like just give a reminder to what it is everybody's playing for, right? There's nothing wrong with that. I remember, Cowboy fans might remember this too, that like at the end of practice, Jimmy Johnson would have his team come out, and let's say they're playing Washington that Sunday. They would set up like the game-winning field goal to win the game as their last play of practice. it wasn't being overconfident. It was just, hey, let's set the tone.
I have
right?
no problem.
How many, you know, how many times have we seen like coaches like have their team packed and ready to go on to the next game, even though if they lose that they're out because they want to leave that mentality that we're moving on. We've won this game already kind of thing. So if in the middle of a long camp, you want to kind of just remind everybody what you're doing, come on. I really, are we getting to that point? And I'm getting really tired of what would George Steinbrenner do? George Steinbrenner, God rest his soul, has been gone for 11 years. And the real, the George Steinbrenner that everybody's envisioning has been gone for 25. All right? We live in a different world now, people. Players are a different breed. Like you said, Leo DeRocher would have like gotten sick. Well, you know what? That was back in the 50s and the 60s. Things are different now. Let them have a little fun.
I had no problem with what they did. Good for them. This is from the Dallas News, okay? The club will mandate mask wearing, but also stress the need for voluntary compliance from fans, and hopes to welcome up to 40,518 fans for the April 5th home opener at Globe Life Field. Club officials said there would be a quote-unquote three-strike policy on warnings about masks before any action is taken. The governor's orders allow businesses to determine their own policies on mandates. So the government is not mandating that you have to do it, but each individual business has the right to mandate it. I want to see them tell Buford from Austin, you've got to leave now. That's the third time I've told you. Some poor usher.
Thank you. Some poor usher is going to have to tell the guy, you're gone. And then if he refuses to leave, then what? Then you're going to have security. And I'm sure that's what security wants to do, is drag somebody out, fight through a row.
That's the people I feel sorry for at Walmart.
Yeah.
People making minimum wage right. have to like tackle these Karens because they don't want to put on masks.
And it's one guy, right? But if you get a bunch of rowdy, like 30, 40 people that all want to be on that guy's side, then you're going to get a stupid – it's really going to be difficult. It's going to be impossible. You know what's going to end up happening is that the security guys who are going to feel overwhelmed are just going to let them do it. Let them take the mask off. Who cares?
Probably. Because is it worth you getting into a fist fight or having them cough in your face?
So Nick on Twitter said, I went to the Javits Center last night at 2 a.m. No wait. They took me right away. Extremely helpful. Was in and out within an hour. And Nick looks young.
Well, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't have...
He looks incredibly healthy when I look at his picture. They have to give the shots out if they're defrosted.
Right. No, yeah, listen, I'm happy. I got to say this, and I think I have the name correct, Michael. It's like Women of New Jersey. It's a group of women who... will do the work to make phone calls to get appointments. So Nancy called for my mom yesterday, and then that night I got the phone call. My mom's got an appointment on Tuesday.
Awesome.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff you love and want to be able to promote, that their people are willing to help other people get vaccinated. Because it's tough in New Jersey. There are people that are supposed to get the vaccine, but it's like trying to get concert tickets.
You're online
trying to get an appointment.
We have to take a quick break because we're going to have a final answer about spring training. I just want to read you this one tweet from a guy that we don't agree with a lot. So there's a Mets 2021 division champs is a Twitter feed. And they asked, will Don LaGreca get consideration as an NHL and ESPN play-by-play player in wake of today's news? Bob Raceman answers that person and says, DLG should get a shot. His pipes and puck play-by-play are outstanding.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Now you like him.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I unblocked... Andrew Marchand. I cooled down.
Oh, good. Now let's see if you're going to unblock Flip. All right, so Flip is coming on, the president of programming of the YES Network, and we'll get to a final answer on whether or not Donald and Peter will be on a Yankee spring training broadcast. I have sweat and goosebumps at the same time. Maybe I'm sick. I don't know, but we'll see what
happens. Don't play with me, Flip.
He's riding high after that Raceman tweet. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Let me think about it. No.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so nothing is set in stone, but the way I'm looking at it, I believe the game that you guys will be doing, I believe, is March 24th, Yankees-Toronto. So Rucco and O'Neill will start the game, the first inning, and I think the three of us move in for the second and maybe the third.
Wait, it's not even a game you're doing.
No, I'm just parachuting in with you guys.
No, wow. I love that.
Not what I expect.
Now, you guys do know, Yes Network policy, you got to wear a jacket and tie.
Are we going to be on TV?
Yes.
So they're going to show us from home before we start?
It's called an establishing shot.
Yeah, but you don't establish shots in the middle of a game, do you?
Well, when you're bringing in three new people, you do.
Well, I'll do whatever I have to do.
And a lot of people are saying you might need a trim of the hair.
Well, tell them how you feel about them.
I'll make it work. I'm not cutting the hair. I mean, I've been really working on this the entire pandemic. But if I got to shave the beard, then I might do that. I mean,
you'd bring it down?
Well, here's the thing, is that this is such a huge opportunity. Really, I mean, this is no joke. I mean, people are going to be disappointed if they think that we're going to be doing the show on this game. I plan on treating this like I'm actually, you know, doing this game. I'm going to prepare for it, work on the opponent, get to know the players, and give you a broadcast, because I think that's what people that are Yankees fans expect.
Is that what you think people want?
Well, I don't think we're not doing the show, Peter. We could be the personalities that we are. We're not
right.
Doing the show. There's a game on.
But I do think we're going to have fun, and we're going to definitely bring our personalities to the table. That's what Paul does. That's what David does. Right? You get David Cone, you get Paul O'Neill when they're calling the games, but you also get the respect of the game and what the task at hand is.
Now, you know, Don, for 20 years, I'm one of the moodiest people you'll ever meet. You don't know what you're going to get with me on a day-to-day basis.
I know.
Could be up Michael, down Michael, miserable
to?
Michael, happy Michael. But if I'm happy Michael that day, there's a chance. I haven't even thrown this by Flip yet. There's a chance I hand over the play-by-play duties for half an inning to you.
Really?
Chance. Well, according to what Michael you get.
Well, I really hope I get a good mood, Michael, because I'd love that opportunity, and I will prepare for that to happen. Because here's the thing, Peter. You can't make it a complete clown show. Because
I know.
Here's how I look at everything, all right? Listen, I've done a lot of Ranger games, and obviously some have been important, and some of them are, you know, a game in November, you know, against Florida. But at any moment, something can happen where you become part of forever because you're the one that was calling that moment. And even though it's a spring training game, there could be something that happens where...
Right. In that inning, Aaron Judge could hit a line drive to left center that knocks over the massive scoreboard.
It could happen.
This is how I'm going into it. I don't know what Peter's thought was, because I was thinking about this extensively over the weekend. Like, what if this opportunity was presented to me? You'd prepare. You do the game, but you add personality, because you're right, Peter. There are going to be people that are going to turn on that game that are going to be expecting. I want Don and Peter. I want to hear Don and Peter, and they'll be disappointed if we're just going to do, you know, the straight X's and O's baseball. But that still has to be the majority of what's going on.
Well, I'm a little concerned here. I'm a little concerned.
Why so?
I just feel like we were last week. We got screaming, rabble rousing Don, and then Flip says okay, and Don's like, yeah, I might shave off my beard. I'll be prepared to do the game. Like, I don't know. Is this what we were? So is it going to sound like is this going to be like we're calling the U.S. Open? Hello, friends.
No. Have you ever heard me do a game that sounds like the U.S. Open? As Don said, David and Paul have their personalities come out. We'll talk about your hairy arms. Don't worry, Peter.
And why didn't you offer me the opportunity to call Paul
Strikes? Because I wouldn't do that, and it couldn't be authenticated by the people in charge.
What do you mean it couldn't be authenticated?
I don't think Flip and the president of the network, John Littner, and Randy Levine, the chairman of Yes, I don't think that they would sign off on you doing play-by-play.
But you think they'd sign off on Don doing play-by-play?
Because Don's a professional play-by-play guy.
It's a totally different sport altogether. And by the way, I mean, let's be honest, Michael. I mean, all due respect, but Play-by-play in baseball is the easiest of all the major sports.
Yeah, why don't you take a flying leap? You know, you're out of the booth now. It's me and Don.
See how easy it is.
So Flip just texted me, said, you guys get to be you. Absolutely no interference from me.
See?
Yeah, well, that's the plan.
And then he reminded us to get the S app.
Of course, get the S app. Love the S app.
But, you know, I don't know.
Maybe you do
if
a list on top five Yankees. I mean, that could be fun.
I could do that. But if I'm not saying it correctly, Peter, I apologize, or at least getting the message out. The idea is to be prepared to do the game, but to do all the other stuff too. But I'm going to know who's up. I'm going to know about what's happening in the game. Let's not forget that there's still a game.
Well, Don, what would your home run call be if I let you do play-by-play?
Oh, I've always thought about it. I've always dreamed about it. No, I have.
Dreamed about it?
Come on.
Back, right. Belly, sleigh ride. How about that?
Well,
we've always thought about that.
I have thought about that a lot. I called games in college. You know, you have to have a home run call, Peter, so I've always kind of toyed with a few of them, and maybe I'll have one if that were to take place.
Oh, such excitement. Let's towel off right now. I think a lot of people are excited. A lot of people want to talk about it. I'm excited.
I might have to shower off also.
Yeah, I think you might. I mean, a thorough one. 1-800-919-3776. Join in the discussion. Don LeGrec and Peter Rosenberg are actually going to call at least two innings of a Yankee spring training game. I'm verklempt.
Maybe
LeGrec, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Michael K. Show.
John J. Filippelli. I know that the Make-A-Wish Foundation is a dear, important part of your family. How about if we put a charitable element at 98.7 ESPN and the Yes Simulcast that we raise some money if you could get Don and Peter in the booth?
I can't say no to that. I'm going to relent now.
Hey, Flip.
Good. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to.
All right. You know, not because Don asked. I mean, almost in spite of the fact that Don asked, I'm going to say okay to the two innings. All right?
Wow.
And, don't press it now, guys. Don't.
Well, what if?
Don't press your luck here. I mean,
what if we can get the more the money goes up for Make-A-Wish?
Right.
Yeah.
That maybe a third inning is possible.
For now, let's go for two. And I'm open possibly to the third, depending on how the first two go. All right,
that's
so
terrific.
There's an option. It's my option for a third, depending on how this is going. But I'm going to go. Let's go with the two, and we'll take it from there. How's that?
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so if you just got in the car, you were at work, this is the deal. Don LeGrec and Peter Rosenberg, right now it looks like it's going to be March 24th. Yankees-Blue Jays, a 1 o'clock start. We're going to do at least the second and the third inning, and then we have to leave at some point. Because at 3 o'clock our show comes on, 2:55 our show comes on, so we've got to make sure that we're available for that. And I think that this is the challenge that we should accept, embrace, and aim for. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The first spring training game of the year that we had, David and I did the game. It was the second highest rated spring training game in the history of Yes. That's a 20-year history. This is the 20th year. I think that we have to push this so much that becomes the highest rated spring training game in the history of Yes. All of our great listeners that have propelled this show to ratings greatness, they've got to make sure to tune into Yes on the 24th. And let's make history, because I'll tell you what, if the three of us together, Don and Peter in particular, because I am on the Yankee games, if they drive ratings, it won't be the only time they're ever on.
Yeah, I got it. That's what I was just thinking. Like, if we are good, which we will be, and more importantly, if it rates, you can't tell me this doesn't become one spring training game every year where it's the whole game. I bet that will happen. We just have to deliver, and the audience has to deliver for us.
And now, I've known you quite a while, Peter. I don't know if I've ever... I hear a little fear in your voice.
Mm-mm.
This is big.
Mm-mm.
This responsibility, it just hits different to you.
No. No, it doesn't.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm not going to be nervous for this. Okay. Now, if you'd said, hey, Peter, you're doing play-by-play the whole time, I'm going to be sit back and let you run things. Yeah, I'd have nerves for that. But for me to go sit in there and basically do the role that I have on this show during a baseball broadcast, which means jump in here and there with, you know, funny quips and interesting tidbits, I can do that. I mean, that's why I get nervous about that.
Now, Don, let me throw this at you because I was thinking during the break. Gleyber Torres.
Right.
Deep fly left field. Track. Wall. Sniff him. Sniff him dead. Home run, Torres.
I don't know if you want to say sniff him dead.
No.
Fix that!
Or that.
But it's interesting you just said it that because that's kind of where I was going.
Sniff him?
No. Back, track, wall, gone.
That's been done.
Back, outfielder's going back, gets to the track, gets to the wall, but you don't have to say all the extra words, just back, track, wall, gone. But you obviously do it with a little.
Has that not been done before?
I don't know.
Many times. I go back, track, wall, see ya.
It's tough because here's the issue, is that you need time to kind of develop your style, and when you first present it to me, you start to think, all right, who am I stealing from? Because all of your thoughts are, you know, how Gary does it, how Kuiper does it, how Kay does it, how Vaskersian does it on Sunday Night Baseball. So you want to come up with your own. But usually it happens over time, right, Michael? Yes.
How about a little stutter step? How about a, it is gone? How about that, Don?
No.
How about you incorporate Don and gone?
Well, then you're making it about yourself, which you never do.
No, I never do that.
Most signature calls, it's made about yourself. So you can say, gone, LaGreca.
Why am I throwing my name?
It is.
Oh, this is big.
It's back. It's deep. It's back. I'm done, and it's gone. How about that?
Wow. I hope Flip stopped listening. This portion of the Michael K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London. Join 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers, for their annual wedding band event from Thursday, March 18th through Sunday, March 21st. Enjoy 20% off all wedding bands. For locations and to make an appointment, visit 2bylondon.com. Now, I assume that Peter's going to cover this on the NN. I just assume.
I do everything.
But, Don, have you or Peter seen the Johnny Damon arrest video?
I have not seen it yet. I know it's out there.
It is not what you want.
It's from the police body cam, right?
Yeah. It's just brutal. He and his wife are not covered in glory. And his wife was so disrespectful to the policeman. And she just didn't listen. She's lucky that she had the right policeman. Because she just didn't listen. I mean, it's so embarrassing for both of them. They couldn't speak.
I told you
guys. To get in a car like that, in that kind of shape, they should be ashamed of themselves.
When Damon got interviewed leaving the jail, hours and hours later, he was clearly still wasted.
Oh, it was awful.
I don't know how you get behind the wheel of a car. Honestly, I just don't know. It's beyond stupid. You know you're going to drink. There's so many ways. This is 1946, all right? You've got so many ways. You're a famous person. You can call a limo if you want. Like, it's beyond stupid that you didn't prepare, saying, all right, I'm going to go out and get hammered tonight, so let's make sure that we got somebody who's going to take us out and drive us home. But to just have the arrogance, the audacity to get that liquored up and think it's okay to get behind the wheel of the car, and then when you're caught, treat a police officer's like that as if you're being inconvenienced. Just because you played baseball. And I always thought that he was, a pretty good guy, right? I never had any reason to believe that he wasn't.
Man, that level of concentration he's putting in to walk the straight line.
And the things he was saying. And he's trying to stop his wife because she's getting out of the car and the policeman is saying, don't get out of the car. And she's getting out of the car, and he's screaming, stop. And Johnny Damon is slurring, go back. And then after she won't listen and she keeps walking, he goes, just walk home. And no, don't walk home. It was so disturbing. It just how are they not mortified by what they presented to the world?
That's a great question. Do they look at that and are they mortified? Or do they look at that and still feel like they were in the right? But dare the police treat us?
I don't know if they could be mortified, Don, because from what I'm told, that boat show that they're on,
they're drunk
always
on
like
that
three
too.
Sheets to the wind.
Yep.
But this was like 8 sheets to the wind.
It's wild.
Hey, I am not judging them on their level of intoxication. I mean, some people get sloppy drunk, whatever. But just, you know, that you obviously, they're big drinkers, right? So they knew when they went out that night that they were going to get hammered. And they still thought it was okay to get behind the wheel of a car. So we can't even give the whole, well, they weren't in their right mind when they were drunk and that they would have never made that decision. When they were sober before they went out, they knew darn well what they were going to do and still had no respect. And listen, wrap the car around a pole. That's your life. But you know what? While you're doing that, who knows who else, what other innocent person or people can be taken out because of your sheer ignorance.
And I mean, and how many videos have we seen over the last couple of years of someone who did something less significant than Johnny Damon's wife who comes out and inserts herself into the middle of the arrest and has to be restrained? How many times have we seen that end incredibly badly for people?
You're right. I thought of that too.
But they are.
I cannot believe they let her get away.
They are white and famous, and they were able to get away with it.
No policeman wants anybody in a car to get out because that's when danger could. There could be something in the car.
She jumps out mid thing.
She jumps out after the. She just completely disrespects the policeman. He's screaming at her, "Do not get out of the car!" And she wouldn't listen. So she's either A, incredibly arrogant, or B, was so drunk that she just couldn't comprehend what he was saying. I think it's a little of both.
I think it's all of the above. You know, and in this country, we have there's a lot of programming that goes on that makes certain people feel safe and certain people feel dangerous. And obviously, you know, the officers didn't feel threatened for whatever reasons by the Damons, but their behavior was abhorrent. And obviously, I'm glad no one got hurt, but you can't help but see it and go, man, this is a glaring difference in treatment.
Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Sam in Northport. Sam.
Hey, how's it going, Michael, Don, and Peter?
Everything is good. How about you?
Good, good. First of all, the Johnny Damon stuff was disgusting. I feel terrible. I mean, they should feel the worst, obviously, but that just makes me sick to my stomach. But yep. Going on the Don and Peter, you guys, first of all, congratulations on the opportunity to, you know, work the Yankee game.
That's going to be fun.
I mean, it's a huge honor, huge honor. I think you guys are going to do a great job. I wouldn't be too concerned. I feel like Peter does. I kind of agree with Michael. I feel like Peter sounds like a little nervous. He might not admit it. I don't know why. But he seems a little nervous. But
well, I know, listen, if you hear nerves, I'm just trying to figure out where to fit in. You know, Mike Don's getting offered play-by-play. You know, I'm just sitting here, you know, saying, you know, I'm getting dragged along. That no one's offering me anything, so I just have to figure it out on my own. So that's not nerves. I just have to figure it out, talk to my people, and see
what
makes sense.
Michael's in a bad mood, and there's like a 50% chance that it will be the case.
No, it's 65 at least, right. Usually.
And, you know, then it's not even going to happen. So I wouldn't worry about it, Peter.
Steve Brzezinski, who, great commentator on our show.
Bad guy, though.
Said that he's not a bad guy. He said if you did play-by-play, Pete's play-by-play would be this one is high. It is, by the way, catch me on Twitch tonight. Bear, quit barking. Gone.
God, I don't like him, but that was funny.
Why don't you like Steve? I think he's funny on Twitter.
He says nasty things sometimes, but that was very funny.
I never see nasty things from Steve.
Because they're directed towards me, not you. And we only know, what you care about, only if it's directed towards you.
Wow, that's hurtful. Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I've been on this watch since the day that the idea was first thought of. I am thrilled beyond words that the three musketeers, the three amigos, three clowns, whatever you want to call yourselves, will be in the booth. Yeah. I actually called up. I actually spoke to someone who probably rolled their eyes.
Is that true?
Yes. I received phone calls and texts from people who knows I'm a fan of the show. You think they're going to let them? I said, this is...
This is going to be the – I wouldn't watch a preseason baseball game. My son will play 120 games this year. I'll watch Mets, Yankees. I'll watch 8 o'clock ESPN, whatever's on. I wouldn't watch a preseason baseball game if the only thing, other thing was on was Fonzie Loves Pinky, which is on, by the way, today, 6:30, part 3.
Okay.
I am all over this. I will take off work. I will change my
schedule. Wow. Don, wow, thank you, Dan.
Don, a couple of things for Don. Don can't trim his beard. He's appearing off Broadway as Jeff Bridges in True Grit. Because if you put a patch on Don right now, he is Rooster Cogburn.
Yeah.
Secondly, if there is a forever moment, somehow, God forbid, someone suffers an injury, something happens, the kill switch on your microphone, Don, will go off so quick, and the voice of Michael K is all that will be heard during the forever moment. I can assure you, it will be K.
You think they'll kill Don's mic?
I think he would push Don out of the booth if that's what happened. It will be all K. It's all. It'll be a forever moment. It's got to
be
the voice
so
of K.
Scared.
No. A forever moment, like something great, it's all Don. If it's a forever moment, God forbid, where somebody gets hurt, then the fun and games end.
And Peter Rosenberg is making a comment in the back, whether it's great or not, it's going to be on the ESPN Sports Center, top 10 plays of the day. And all you hear is Peter making some funny but irrelevant comment. That would just be fantastic beyond words. I'm rooting for you guys. It's going to be great. I'm just upset that you're not going to be in the stadium, because I thought Peter throwing out the first pitch to Don in full catcher's gear would be outstanding.
Well, that's something.
Now you want to throw out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium.
Why? No, he just said that would be something, and it would be.
But yeah, it would never happen.
But all I said was that it would be something. I didn't say I was.
Do you really believe that from the rubber that you could hit Don glove behind home plate?
What do you mean, without shorting it or it being a strike?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be a strike. Shorting it or that Don could catch it. Do you believe?
Well, hold on. Do you mean if me and Don were just hanging out, or do you mean with the nerves of 40,000 people?
The nerves of 40,000 people, and you're on this exalted ground. I think that you would probably soil yourself.
Well, I've played on the exalted ground before.
I get it.
Multiple times.
And there was nobody in the stands.
No, there was as many as there'll be this year.
Michael, I've been to plenty of baseball games. It's not like 40,000 people feel the need to watch the first pitch.
That's a great point, too. Although you still get nervous for it.
I have seen people throw out the first pitch and just can't do it.
Yeah, 50 Cent, Gary Delabate, I get it.
Dr. Barack Obama.
I'm not even going to sit here and lie, guys. If Don and I went out and played together just for fun, chucked it around, of course, I could hit him all day long. In that setting, I'm not going to lie.
Hey.
Last time I was at Yankee Stadium, I went and warmed up before the game started, and there was maybe 3,000 people there. I was shorting everything. I was very nervous to have people watching.
But let's not forget, Peter, one of the things lost in this pandemic was the pitching we used to do in studio. Let's not forget.
That's true.
Just throwing strikes.
I forgot. I already forgot.
Let's go to Paul in Parsippany. Paul.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Don. Good. Don, I love you. You're my favorite. My brother-in-law actually got me a cameo from you, wishing me well after I had brain surgery, and I am forever grateful. It was very funny, and I appreciate it. But that being said, I got to call you out, man. You're a big fraud today.
Wow.
Last week, you tell Flip, you go on your little rant, you tell him, even if you change your mind, don't call me back. I'm not doing it anyway. And now this week, you totally change your tune. You go, oh, thank you very much, Mr. Filippelli. I'd be honored. I'll shave my beard. I'll do whatever
it,
you want.
It is, yeah.
I don't like it, Don.
I never said Mr. Filippelli. I said Flip every time. Go back. But listen, it's an opportunity. I stand by everything that I said. And you know what? It worked. He reconsidered.
What about what you said last week, though? Don't call me back. Lose my number.
Maybe he was negotiating.
I was upset. But you know what? He came back. How many times has somebody said, I'll never take you back? And then you take them back. It was in that moment. But it's still a tremendous opportunity. He reconsidered. I believe he reconsidered because of how abusive I was. And I got my way.
Last caller, it is the only reason I would watch a spring training game to see it for you guys, and I can't wait. So
Paul, I got to ask you the one thing. How did the brain surgery go? Everything okay?
Yeah, it's all good. It was a funny little personalized rant that Don did because it was somewhat minor brain surgery, and he did a rant about how could brain surgery be minor. But, yeah, it's all good. Thank you.
Right. Oh, good. Thanks, I mean, Paul.
It didn't Thanks go completely listening. Well. His name is Steve from Brooklyn, but still, it takes a little time for everything to come back.
Peter, can you get a little closer, put the headset up? Because I got to ask you something.
All right, go ahead.
Every four or five people, right, that call into the show, talk about how Don did a cameo for them. Do you get the feeling he's putting an extension on the house? I mean, what's going on?
It is a great point. I'm doing a couple a week. It feels like he's getting thousands.
Yeah.
It was a very lucrative decision.
Yeah, he's really.
I got to get me some of this. I really do.
It's a very simple fix, Mike. I could send the invite if you want.
Wow. Everybody who calls, I got a great cameo from Don.
I know. It's starting to get slightly insulting.
Yeah, you don't
and I don't
get
promote
many requests,
it.
Do you?
I don't promote it, do I?
No.
No. Not really.
But everybody that calls in, that's a promotion for you because nobody's been disappointed in the cameo that you've done.
Well, I've gotten rave reviews in everyone I've done, but I'm not beloved like Don. So
no
one calls up and says, oh, Peter. They don't even care. Now,
most people dislike you. They listen because they dislike you.
But I'm doing things that are special. Last week, a parent told me to tell her young children that if they didn't continue to work hard at school, that I would cue them in the voice of Freddie Kitchen to children. I think they were 6 or 7. And I said,
and did you do it?
Of course.
Was it peak Freddie?
It was peak Key. God, we got to get him on the show this year.
But he doesn't talk anything like that.
That would be a letdown, Peter.
Yeah, but imagine
you lift the curtain and he actually speaks the King's English. It's not going to be good for the imitation.
Yeah, but what if you guys had him on the air and you're doing the interview and everyone's listening and all of a sudden you hear his music kick in and he's greeted by the other Kiki with no idea of what's going on. What's up, Freddie? It's me, Freddie Kiki. You sound like a sellout trying to sound all cool and smart and educated to Don and Mike. Well, guess what? I know the real key. I don't key you. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
That would be a dream.
Not just imagine.
Could go really badly.
I think it would end with a click.
Yeah, that's his problem.
And then the Giants would call and go, you're never having anybody on again.
Yeah, that definitely would get a Pat Hanlon email.
Well, that would be Hanlon's fault at that point. At that point, it would be Hanlon's fault.
Why? Because he doesn't know the...
I'm saying right now.
Keegan's too?
If they ever send us Keegan, they're getting that. So
this is why we're never going to get him.
Yeah, you got to spring that on them as a surprise, but now you're threatening it. It's not going to happen.
Maybe they're a good sport. Maybe Keegan would like it.
I don't think anybody would want to be imitated. They can't pronounce his last name. It's not flattering.
I find when I do Keegan, it's endearing. I love him. I have
I
love for him.
I can definitely see that.
He's turned over time as I do the cameos. He's kind of turned into George Bush, like the Will Ferrell George Bush a little bit also.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved.
But still, yeah, it's fond. It's not hatred.
All right, we're going to take a brief time out, calculators out, and find out how much Don is making, because he's not just buying dolls anymore, Peter. There's significant spending going on because of Cameo. He might have a brand new car with different fobs.
I need to catch up.
It's amazing. It really is going to push me onto this app. It really
is. It's
right
there for you, Michael. It's found money.
But you really put your heart and soul in this.
Well, it's anything worth doing is worth doing right.
But don't do what I do, though. Michael, don't do what I do where I miss them and then have to do them for free.
The Snark just tweeted, he said, I had a cameo from Don. It was life-changing. Life-changing.
You know what, the Snark? Go take a walk.
Oh, you don't like the Snark either?
I'm tired of this love for Don. Enough is enough.
Oh, finally coming over to my side of the street. Matt Flaherty goes, Don needs to work on camera angle on Cameo. It's too close to his face and below the chin angle. Just isn't working to his advantage. Please help him.
Can Anthony or Andrew pull up a Don cameo or two? Because you can just go to his profile and they're there. Let's hear what Don's doing on there.
All right.
Jarv also brings a great point. The game that we're doing is Yankees-Blue Jays. He said, Don, I would love to be Canadian will fit perfectly on that.
A lot of drops in that broadcast.
I'd love that.
Now let's towel off. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on. Yes, and 98.7 ESPN.
Freddie Key.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.